This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
She is Mary Kay Cabot from The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. And, of course, she is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. Hi, Mary Kay. Come on.
Hello, Mary Kay.
Sorry, I've got a little trouble with my mouse, so that's my bad. My bad, Mary Kay. My bad.
Personal problem, Mary Kay.
It's okay. How are you guys doing?
Great. Oh, we're doing good. We're still, you know, what a great game that was on Sunday. I mean, if there was a team in a franchise that needed a game like that, that was exactly what the doctor ordered for Sunday. So, Jeff and I have been sitting here and we're wondering, how does this affect the rest of the season, knowing they only have two wins and wondering what they might do with the trade deadline based on the fact that there's renewed energy in what's going on, especially on the offense?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because now when you think about it, they're not 100% out of it just yet. And I know it's a little crazy to be talking playoffs like some of the players were talking about yesterday, but if you look at winning this game and then stacking a few more wins, you can't say you're throwing in the towel on the season, and you really can't send that message that you are because they're not out of it yet. The Rams last year made the playoffs after starting 3-6, and there are three teams that have actually made the playoffs after starting 2-6 in the NFL. So you can't really look at it right now as though it's completely 100% over, even though we all know that it's a tremendous, tremendous long shot, but they still have some things to play for this season.
I think the most interesting numbers around Jameis Winston are these, Mary Kay. Since he left Tampa, he's 7-4 as a starting quarterback. And I'm not sure exactly how to think about that, because I always thought he got a kind of a raw deal in New Orleans. Because he did okay there, and injuries and some other things happened there. But I wonder if he's really matured as an on-the-field quarterback since he's left Tampa. What do you think?
Well, I think he has. And he talked to us about this last week on Wednesday when we were asking him about how he's different and what he's learned. And he said that when he got with Drew Brees and Sean Payton in New Orleans, he learned about the plays not to make. And he also learned how to prepare for just that week, to take a microscopic look at the game that you were playing that coming week and figuring out how to attack it for that week. And when he talks about sitting down with the coaches and them trusting each other, I think that's what happened this week. I think he sat down with Ken Dorsey, with Kevin Stefanski, and really went over how they could attack this defense. And it was pretty obvious how you could attack this horrible Ravens pass defense. The order of the day was to take shots downfield and take advantage of it. And when Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins were ruled out of that game, it absolutely reinforced that game plan. So it just kind of was the perfect storm for everyone, and it worked out just the way they needed it to.
What's the difference then between Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski in play calling? Because I still think Kevin's a really good play caller, and I don't other than the fact that we saw him walking around without having a card in front of him on Sunday. Like, help me understand what the difference is or what nuances you saw that were different between Dorsey and Stefanski.
Well, there might not be any differences or many differences between those two as play callers, especially not with the kind of game that was called on Sunday. Now, if you're looking more at the spread and the RPOs and those kinds of things, I think that's where Ken Dorsey might have the advantage because that's what he's so used to calling. So I don't know that Sunday's game would have been all that much different with Kevin Stefanski having the play sheet in his hand.
Sort this out for me. Deshaun's under contract for two more years. DTR is under contract for, what, two more years? And Jameis is under contract for one more year. For this year and not next year. What does that all mean? In other words, who's the quarterback of this team moving forward, if he's even here right now?
It's all still up in the air. It's way too early to make any determinations on who the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns is going to be in 2025. We really do not know the answer to that yet. He absolutely might not be here at all. It could be a rookie. It could be a veteran who comes from somewhere else. It could be Jameis. It could be. We really don't know who it's going to be yet. So I think everyone just has to maybe exercise a little bit of patience. While, of course, we have to analyze everything and we have to go over everything and lay out the possibilities and those kinds of things. But I really don't think we have any kind of an answer on that yet.
Mary Kay, do you think Jameis actually has a chance to be the starter here on a long-term basis?
Well, I think he probably has a chance to maybe start if they go out and draft a rookie high in the draft and they want a veteran to come in and maybe start some games first. I think he would have a chance to do that. He would probably be in the mix for that, especially if the vibes are good going forward the way they were with Joe Flacco. And we know why Joe Flacco isn't here, but those same considerations aren't in effect with Jameis Winston. So if there is a feel-good type of situation going on, there is no reason why he couldn't come back and start for them next year. So it's definitely something that I'm sure will be on the table.
What do you think the Browns management is thinking more, Mary Kay? Gosh, we hope Deshaun comes back and is healthy and is good to go, or how can we alleviate this situation and get out of this contract and make it as painless as possible?
You know, it's hard to say. I will say.
It sure
say,
is. It is.
I said this on my podcast. I'm almost to the point where both sides probably need something different. And so I don't know if they're hoping and wishing that he comes back healthy. I laid out a scenario the other day, you know, just trying to set expectations that I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's absolutely gone, because if you look at what happened with the Falcons, with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, there is a model there that you could follow, but I don't necessarily think that that's good for the fan base. I don't know that it's good for the Browns. I don't know that it's good for Deshaun. It almost seems like at this point, both sides would be better off trying to find a way to move on, but that is not going to be easy. And that's the point that I was trying to make, is that you've got economic considerations here that are enormous, that you do have to think about that. And what people don't understand, because so many people say to me, well, they already have to pay out all that money. So, you know, what difference does it make? Well, the difference that it makes is that if you cut or traded him before June 1st at this point, you're going to trigger a $172 million cap charge for next year, which is untenable. You cannot do that. So this is not as simple as saying, oh, this is a toxic relationship and we need to end it. So, I think that, you really have to figure out how you're going to do this. They're going to have to get creative with it. They're going to have to figure something out if they decide to go in separate directions.
Mary Kay, your thoughts on Denzel Ward? I know we've had this conversation before about concussions. Here he is again in concussion protocol. What do you think the future is there? And again, I say all these things based on Denzel the person, not Denzel the contract, not Denzel the... I mean, at some point, the concussions are... they have to come into a conversation with him and his family again, and... Yeah, I'm just curious what your thoughts are with him and the concussions.
Well, of course, we're all concerned about Denzel. You never want to see a player suffer multiple concussions. I know, I'm sure his family is worried about him. I'm sure the Browns are worried about him. But once again, they're going to lean into what the medical professionals are saying. Denzel has been to see a concussion specialist in Pittsburgh after the fifth one, which happened in August. So they're going to do everything that they possibly can, but he's never felt that he was in the kind of medical danger that, let's say, a Tua has been in these situations. Not that these have been mild, but they haven't been to the point where he's really had to consider giving it up or shutting it down for a while. I actually think that maybe they should think about shutting it down for the rest of the season to avoid a seventh concussion or a third one in the same season. So that's something that, in my opinion, they should be discussing. I don't know if we'll get to that point because Denzel has always been adamant that this has never risen to the occasion that he would have to do anything like that.
Sure is scary, though. You know, we all care about the guy, especially, you know, local guy, Ohio State. We followed him since he was a kid. It's a scary situation. And the guys make enough money, Mary Kay, where you could walk away from the game. But guys want to play football as long as they can. I that's a tough thing for him to balance, even in the situation, as you said, where the folks in Pittsburgh who we visited said, hey, this will be okay. But I would think he's going to have to do some real soul searching on this one.
Yeah, and, you know, as a mom, as a parent, you always wonder, you know, how the parents are feeling about this. And I'm sure that his mom and his brother, he's very, very close to them. I'm sure they're discussing it with him. They might go back and see the concussion specialist again. They might talk to Brown's doctors. I'm sure they'll do all of that. They'll do their due diligence before he goes back out there on the football field. And no one will send him back out there if anybody thinks that it's not safe. But I do think some serious discussions are in order.
Mary Kay, where do you think the Browns are going to be playing in 29? Are they going to be in the current stadium being renovated? Are they going to be maybe perhaps at Burke? Are they going to be at Burke Park? Like every day there seems to be a new twist plot to this, and every time I look, it seems like the next stadium is going to cost more money. I'm just, where do you think they're going to be playing in 29, and where do you think the thing's at right now?
Well, I'm going to say at this moment in time, I'm going to say Burke Park because I really believe – that is what the Haslams want to happen, and that is what the Browns want to happen. These renderings that were released yesterday, I don't think the Browns are on board with that plan. In fact, I know they're not on board with that plan, and I don't know what it would take to get them on board with that plan, but I think they have done some of their own feasibility studies on that Burke site, and I don't think that they believe that that is a economically feasible situation or maybe even perhaps a logistically feasible situation for them. They love what they have going in Brook Park. That's what they want to do. My wish and hope has always been that someone would come in with some minor miracle and find a way to do a dome in downtown Cleveland. I love the city of Cleveland. I was born and raised here. I'm super crazy pro Cleveland, and I would love to see downtown transformed and this region thereby also transformed. But the Browns believe that that can happen also with the Brook Park Dome. So we'll have to see how that all works out. But it is interesting. The renderings are beautiful. They throw a little bit of a monkey wrench or a delay or something into the plans. But I think the Browns are still full steam ahead on Brook Park.
To whose advantage was it to leak those pictures yesterday? What do you think?
Well, I would think the city and the county, who are trying to keep the Browns downtown. So absolutely, 100%, that's who it would benefit.
The thing that's interesting to me is, okay, it's right downtown. You're going to have to spend even more money for something like that. And you know, we haven't heard a ton about the Burke thing, but it was very interesting. It looked really good.
Why did it take this long to come up with that? That's my other problem.
What everybody, I think, needs to understand, Mary Kay, you tell me, though something could happen in the city of Cleveland, you're still sinking tons of public money into something, and the bottom line is you want your football team to have good, you know, a good situation, and the team wants to have a good situation. It just seems to me there's a lot of animosity here and a lot of fighting when there doesn't need to be.
Well, my first thought yesterday was I hope when they released those renderings that they had some kind of intelligence that you can actually build that kind of a structure on that surface, on that land right there. Because if you don't have that, then what was that? Just some kind of a ploy or a tactic? If this is not a realistic option, then I don't know that it's smart to get everyone thinking about it or excited about it because, geez, to look at those pictures and to think that you could have something like that downtown, it really does get the wheels spinning in the minds of a lot of people. But if it's not viable or possible, then I think we're doing a disservice to everyone.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you, thank you, thank you. We read you every day, and we always appreciate your time. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
And, of course, she's in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com every day. Make sure you're reading her. And she was on the North Homestead Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline. Jeff, let's dive into that dome conversation a little bit. The Burke pictures that were leaked yesterday and your thoughts at 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.